Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 23rd of September, recording at 9:14 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were quite steady. Hong Kong had a good gain of 1.22%. India was a little bit easier here today. The European stock markets closed with small losses. They were all under 1%, and the U.S. closed with tiny losses, sort of a 0.25% or less. See, Canada was a bit higher. The other Americans, a little bit of light profit taking in the Americas. Long-dated government bonds mixed with the U.S. bond prices somewhat easier. The dollar was soft here again today. Euros rallied up to 136.28 amidst much of the talk about competitive devaluations. And let's see, gold. Quite quietly steady here today, 1309. Platinum and palladium firmer. Crude oil had a good bounce on lower stocks than expected in the U.S. It's currently at 77.88. The grain and bean complex, which had been weak yesterday, had a big sell-off this morning, and then closed almost unchanged. Actually, corn was up on the day, having dipped down to 486. It closed at 505. Soybeans dipped down to 1083 before closing at 1099. It was still down on the day, but Big recovery overall, and wheat, which has sort of led to the downside, closed 20 cents above its low, and down just 1.25 cents on the day. Industrial metals were all firmer. Copper today up to $3.65. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, it's been a banner month in September, and that has really routed the bulls. It has converted a lot of people in and around Wall Street and also in Europe to a more bullish hypothesis, which has been Fuller Money's view all along. We were just experiencing a lengthy consolidation. We are short-term overbought, so thus some to-ing and fro-ing, and there's a probability that that will continue for a while longer, say moving into the first half of October, given the sharpness of the rallies that have actually occurred. But this is all lining up as a favorable development here for the bulls. For one thing, the ASEAN markets, as I've mentioned on a number of occasions, well, they really uncoupled from Wall Street back in June. And they fell during the May reaction, and there's a little bit of a bounce in June, and then Wall Street fell away in July. But the ASEAN group of stock markets actually rallied in July and then broke up to new highs in August, new highs for the year in August, and have seen stunning gains overall. Now, we also saw early uncoupling by the smaller South American markets, and again, stunning gains overall. So, as Owen and I have been saying here for for several months that the strong markets, the growth engines, were all leading to the upside, the one exception being China due to the supply that was coming in the form of IPOs and secondary offerings. Now, in India, among the big population countries, pushed up close to its highs back in 2000 and 2008, for getting a little overbought near that psychological 20,000 level on the Sensex index. So some consolidation, some pullback and consolidations are likely here, but overall the environment is really quite bullish, and in the lagging Western markets, for the most part, patterns that looked like top formations to a lot of people, and they looked like top formations to us, although our hunch was that they were probably just these lengthy consolidations against the background of all the uncertainty over and talk of a double dip recession that we were hearing out of Wall Street. But those patterns do not look toppy anymore. There's still some serial underperformers, Greece, for instance, but that's not going to surprise or terrify anyone outside of Greece. What we really have are just these big ranging platforms of support which can sustain higher levels. So again, I think we're on course for certainly by the second half of October, probably, which you see strong action resuming. Now you say, well, what's underpinning that? Well, low interest rates pretty much around the world. Now, those interest rates have risen in the stronger economies, but they're still negative interest rates. The dilemma for those countries is that they have inflationary pressures and they would be tightening interest rates more rapidly, except they don't want their currencies going through the roof. Thus all the comments coming from Brazil today talk about currency wars. And the U.S. is rather shamelessly pushing down its dollar and printing it like there was no tomorrow. And that's what the Japanese ought to be doing and could justify doing. After all, they're not dealing with a weak currency at all. They're dealing with an overly strong currency, which has created the ridiculous situation, as Jim O'Neill pointed out in that good broadcast that I posted, a good brief broadcast, that it was ludicrous that Japan was doing so badly in terms of Asia's booming growth. Not ludicrous that Japan was not participating to a greater extent in that, and that Germany was doing even better. Well, of course, Germany was benefiting from the weaker euro. But that euro had fallen down to 119 against the US dollar, amidst many calls for 110 and parity, although not shared by Fuller Money because it was so overextended. But it's back up here at 136.31 against the dollar. And if we were to see this pushing back up above, back up towards, say, 150 or higher, well, everybody would be reassessing the currency advantage that Germany had received. Ditto sterling, although it's still fairly soft, but if sterling pushed back up another 10% or so, currently sterling against the dollar is currently at 157.84. So, again, this currency devaluation story is really quite important, and I'd like to think that the Japanese government and the Bank of Japan are playing cat and mouse here with the momentum traders who are long yen, but I don't think that's necessarily the case. But I'll tell you what I'd do if I was in charge. I'd come in with another big intervention, And then I would tell people that I was going to print whatever quantity of yen was required to get the yen dollar yen rate down from this 83.72 where it's trading at this moment, and back into the mid 90s. And I think that the combination of jawboning and action would soon achieve that aim. Now, why do that? Well, because that would be a tonic for the export earnings of Japanese companies. And I think that the world has a vested interest in Japan's economy performing more credibly, as do the Japanese, most of all. Okay. What else to mention in here? Again, this good global growth momentum being led by the progressing economies, and that has helped to keep the USA out of the double dip recession, and I think will continue to do so. And U.S. companies that are leveraged to the global economy, the U.S. multinationals, are doing exceptionally well, and so they should. They've got a very competitive dollar. They've got good products in many instances, and they're selling well into the region, into the progressing economies region. And Asia is very much the growth engine for the global economy, and commodity producers are doing very well out of the China-led Asian growth story. It's a story that's very familiar to veteran subscribers because we've been enjoying this for a decade, and I certainly think that it's going to continue. Now, I've described this as a bit of a sweet spot in here, but that you could see where the pressures are going to come from, and that's really in terms of commodity price inflation. We are not there in full force as we were in 2008, in the first half of 2008. But we're heading in that direction, and that will create a headwind, and that will force interest rates up more quickly than would otherwise be the case, perhaps. But again, we're not there yet. So, this is still a healthy environment. Also want to mention on equities that pension funds, for a number of years now, have been shifting their portfolios away from equities and into bonds. Now, that's done quite well for a while, but the yields aren't all that attractive now, the bond yields, that is, and therefore, I think the pendulum is going to swing back the other way. And companies are now more attractive due to the high cash levels that many of these multinationals currently hold, and that will certainly translate into some higher dividends, and the earnings growth rate is likely to continue. So equities are a much better bet than bonds overall. And the fact that so many baby boomers and other people have been out of equities and underweight the stock markets around the world, that's a good background to have. So I think it's pretty well all go, except for this short-term overbought condition that needs to be unwound over the next 2, 3 weeks. And on that note, all the best to all of you.